Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2. Now the opening word in Hebrews chapter 2 is therefore. And it looks back, of course, to what went immediately before it in chapter 1. And that's looking at all of the glories of our Lord Jesus Christ. particularly as they pertain to His glory as the mediator of the everlasting covenant of grace, which is the New Testament. Now, between the persons of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the man Christ Jesus, it's a covenant. It required equal participation in both parts, in the three persons of the Godhead and in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the person of the Godhead, on their part, they agreed that whatsoever was accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ in His part of obedience to the covenant, or His part in fulfilling the covenant, that they would honor and accept all of those who were represented by Him. On His part, on the part of our Lord Jesus, and what He would do is that He would fulfill the law on their behalf perfectly to its jot and tittle. He would endure its punishment. He would put away sin and bring in everlasting righteousness and clothe them in His own holiness. So it was a covenant on the part of the triune, of the Trinity of persons in the Godhead, and the man Christ Jesus. But toward us, it's a testament. A testament requires the death of the testator, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. And upon His death, all His goods are freely given out to the heirs of the testament. So, it may be considered the last will and testament of our Lord Jesus Christ, and a giving out or a bequeathment of His goods to all His children who are His heirs. I want to look at Hebrews 9:15 for just a minute, and then we'll go on here. Hebrews 9:15. Where it says, "And for this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." They which are called, the children of the covenant, those who are named in the covenant, might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. They will be sharers in the glory, in the mediatorial glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with that in view, and looking at the first word of chapter 2, which is therefore, I took the liberty of copying out of Arthur Pink's book on the Hebrew epistle seven of the glories of his mediatorship. And remember that all of these things are for us. They're our things. They are him seated as a man, our brother, in office and officiating in that office for us. And there are seven of these that are mentioned here. First, Christ Jesus is the Son of God. Now that is a high recommendation, isn't it? The Son of God is our brother, is a man, and he's passed into the glory. And not only that, but as he passed into glory, he's still our representative. So we entered in him. Number two, Christ Jesus is the heir of all things. God hath appointed him heir of all things. Now, that was as a man. God hath appointed him heir of all men. He did not appoint him heir of all things as he is God the Son, because all things already belong to him as being God the Son. But as a man in an office, God appointed him, that man, heir of all things. He gave everything over into his hands. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Therefore go out and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Number three, Christ Jesus made the worlds. That proves that he has a right to everything. He made everything. He made the angels. He made the heavens and the earth, all the planets, all the constellations, all everything. He made it all. He spoke the word. He commanded, and it stood fast. Number four, Christ is the brightness of the glory of God. Look at verse 9 in Hebrews 1. Verse 9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Who is God in his Trinity calling God? Therefore God, thy God. He's calling the man, Jesus Christ, God. He owns him as God. God is our mediator. It's no wonder this gospel is called good news. It's good news that God himself, in the person of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, my brother and your brother, is owned as God by the three persons of the Godhead. Number five, Christ is the express image of God. Verse 8. Look back at that again. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. This man, Christ Jesus, said, I and my Father are one. And the Father said, thou hast loved righteousness, hated iniquity. Therefore, God, or thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. His throne, his dominion, his kingdom is forever and ever. Number six, Christ himself purged our sins. What a thing it is to be able to put away sin. Put away sin. It required the death of him who is called God. And who is God? God, in the person of Jesus Christ, put away our sin by shedding His blood. Now, sins are not put away by our repentance, not by our tears, not by our faith, not by our anything about us. Sins are put away by the death of that man that God has appointed heir of all things, the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how long people pray and sweat and cry and moan and go on. It's the blood of Christ. It's His violent sufferings. The penal arrangement of God's holy law. He endured the equivalent of hell for all His people. Under the law, in the Levitical under the Levitical priesthood, the law, if the priest that was anointed sinned, which our anointed priest had no sin, but because it had to typify him, because the law had to be typical of him or show a picture of him, it was said in the law, If the priest that is anointed sin, let him bring a sin offering. But the sin offering that he had to bring for his one individual sin was the same sin offering identically as if the whole congregation of Israel sinned. Our Lord Jesus Christ had to pay a price that was equivalent to the price to what we owed the justice of God. And He, being an infinite person, was able to pay an infinite price. He suffered infinitely under the hand, under the vengeance. He endured all the wrath of God. Therefore, because of all that. Well, and then there's another therefore, and it's much the same as the other one. But in the first chapter, the apostle is occupied with proving that Christ is better than angels because Moses received the law at the disposition of angels, and therefore the Hebrew children looked at angels as being above Moses. And they revered Moses, so they really revered angels. So we had, and Christ became a man. He was made a little lower than the angels, according to what Brother Bill read to us this morning. But He was made a little lower than the angels for one purpose only. For the suffering of death.
That's right.
Somebody had to die. Blood had to be shed. Blood had to be carried into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement before that the sin of Israel could be put away. And Christ Jesus had to shed His perfect blood to pay that price that we owed the justice of God to clear us from all iniquity. And He certainly got the job done. He said, "It is finished. I have finished the work that Thou gavest me to do." So in proving that Christ is more excellent than angels from the same source, let me just read through these seven things. Christ has a more excellent name than the angels. He's the Son. They're ministers. He has made His angels ministering spirits. A minister is somebody who serves somebody else. He obeys his master, whoever that is. He's the son. They're servants. We're sons and daughters. But in the other world, we're all going to be sons. There's going to be no, that distinction of sex won't be there anymore. We'll be as the angels. But we won't be angels. We'll be as the angels. We'll still be sons of God. Number two, Christ will be and is worshipped by angels, being called, he's the firstborn. I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. Much higher than the kings, higher than the angels of heaven. He's God's firstborn. Christ Jesus created the angels. He made the angels. Look at Psalm, I think it's 104. Psalm 104. Let's read down through the first four verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Who coverest thyself with light as a garment, who stretchest out the heavens as a curtain. Who's he talking about? He talked about our Lord Jesus Christ. He created this earth. Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh clouds his chariot, who walketh on the wings of the wind. He's talking about the angels. They're his chariots. Who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers, his servants, a flame of fire. They're his ministers in judgments. Who was it that was sent to Sodom and Gomorrah? Two of his ministers, angels, were sent, and they said, "We'll destroy this place." They are the instruments of his judgments, as well as they bear his brethren home when they pass out of this life. They protect us. They deliver us. And it's always so. It's always cited as angels. He will give his angels charge over thee, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. What he says to Christ, he says to all his members. Who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. Turn back to Psalm 102. And while we're there, let's just read that. And we'll need to look at this in just a minute. So we will have already looked at it. Psalm 102, verse 24. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. This is the Christ Jesus, this is the thoughts and heart of the man, Christ Jesus. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old, that is Christ, thou hast laid the foundations of the earth. And the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou endure. All of them shall wax old as a garment. As a vesture, thou shalt change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same. and thy years have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established forever before thee. Who's that? That's us. That's God's elect. That's those to whom He freely gives faith. The faith of God's elect. And in giving them that faith, He teaches them who they are. We come into this world with no idea who we are. We think we're just like everybody else, but we're not. We're the children of God. We're not of this world. Christ Jesus created the angels. He'd be worshipped the angels. And Christ Jesus, the man, our brother, is sitting this moment at the right hand of God. That man in glory, who the three persons in the Godhead owns as God, is seated there for us. Look at Hebrews 6:20. Hebrews 6:20. Whether the forerunner is for us entered. Even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Number 5, Christ Jesus is anointed above the angels. He's anointed with the oil of gladness above His fellows. Who are His fellows? Well, it's the angels, but it's also above us. When Aaron, the high priest of Israel, was anointed as high priest, they poured oil over his head, and it ran down over from his head, down to his beard, and down to on his garments, and all the way down to the all of his garments. And it is the picture of our anointing with the Holy Spirit by our Lord Jesus Christ. But ye have an anointing. Ye have an unction. That's what an anointing is. It's an unction. Or that's what an unction is. It's an anointing. And you know all things. Everything that you need to know concerning how God saves sinners, we are taught by that anointing wherewith God anoints us. Our Lord Jesus Christ was anointed with the oil of gladness, with the Holy Spirit, without measure. He was given the fullness of the Spirit. But all of we receive grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. But it's the same anointing. It's the same Spirit. The same Spirit that is in our Lord Jesus Christ is in us. There's one Spirit. And he that is joined to the Lord is one Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17. He, the mediator, Christ Jesus, our surety, lives in us by His Spirit. I am crucified with Christ, yet I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ is the creator of the universe. That's number 6. That farthest planet out there, hundreds of millions of light years away from us. was spoken into existence at the same time this earth was. Understand that? No, I don't. Do I care that I don't understand it? No, I don't care. God did it. That's all I need to know. God did it, and it's all right. Everything's going to be fine. The Lord did it. He's the creator of the universe. He's immutable and eternal. And in Christ Jesus is of a higher honor than the angels. The angels serve Him. The angels worship Him. And He's of a much higher nobility and honor than they are. And they are ministering spirits. If you look back at Hebrews 1:14. And let's go back to Hebrews 1:13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, "Sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool"? Well, who were his enemies? Well, I was one. And you were, and all of his children were, by nature, children of wrath. We were all the enemies of God. Our carnal mind was enmity against God, and we thought the things of God was foolishness because we didn't understand. We were the enemies of God. But what is it now? Now we come to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and bow down with all humility and gladness and say, "Lord, if thou wilt, you can save me." And He has. He has saved us. To which of the angels said he, "Sit on thy right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool"? Are they not all ministering spirits? He made them spirits and ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Well, how do the angels know who that is? Well, he just has to check. They just have to check the book. All our names, we're named individually in the Lamb Book of Life. Look at Luke. Luke chapter 10. Verse 20. Luke 10:20. Notwithstanding, rejoice not that the spirits, or the evil spirits, are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. No wonder they call this good news. You're named in glory. You're already known over there. Your name's been there from everlasting. Turn on over to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. That don't mean they were preachers. That means they helped Paul along with whatever he needed, food, shelter. With Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Well, how long you reckon they've been there? We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, and our names were written in the book of life. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. And let's begin reading at verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion. How come you came to Mount Zion? Because you were brought. The Lord dragged you. He's reached out and fetched you, and you came. But you are come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. And in fact, we are the city of the living God. To a heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Well, that's how the angels know. They check the book. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Now look at Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. They are written. In every case, they are written. God hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. While you're in Revelation, look back at Jude 1.
Right.
Jude chapter 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them which are sanctified, set apart, their names written down by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, given to him as his children, his bride, his spouse, and finally called. Way after a while they are notified. After God had separated them unto salvation and had given them to the Lord Jesus Christ for safekeeping, then after a while, when the time appointed was come, God gave them life and thus called them and made them aware that they were children of the everlasting covenant of grace. Well, he said, therefore. Now, because all of that is just what it is, we ought to give the more earnest heed. Back to Hebrews chapter 1. Or chapter 2. Therefore, we ought... Now in 2 Timothy, or in 1 Timothy 3:2, he says, for the pastors or bishops must be the husband of one wife. Well, the word here, translated ought, is the same word. Therefore we must. We must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, all of those things that enumerated the glories of our Lord Jesus Christ as our mediator, as our brother, sit down in glory, all of those things that shows him to be more excellent than the angels, and therefore a proper mediator for us, for such an high priest became us, because we had such a terrible need. He's able to do everything for us because we can do nothing for ourselves.
Yeah.
Such an high priest became us, who is holy for us. We're holy in His holiness. Of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, holiness for sanctification and redemption. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed. Now, we ought to consider. We ought to consider. I think it's 1 Timothy 3:2. Not there yet. Let me see. I've got here my notes someplace. 2:7. 2 Timothy 2:7. 2 Timothy 2:7. We ought to consider. We ought to meditate. We ought to fix our mind and our will and our affections on Him who is our mediator, on a consideration of the glories of His person. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now, as we consider all those things, as we consider Christ Jesus and His glory, will come as we meditate and think on those things. He said, consider what I say, and the Lord will give thee understanding. Look at Colossians 2:2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. If you want assurance of your salvation and of your standing before God in Christ, then you have to understand, and you understand by considering. Paul said, consider what I say, and the Lord will give thee understanding. There's full assurance of understanding, and full assurance of hope, but it rests on our full assurance of understanding. Now look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And let's begin reading in verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, your heart will be changed. Truly believe your heart, He'll give you a new heart. Actually, He gives you a new heart, and He puts life in you, the Spirit of life. And with that new heart, it is a heart that understands. It understands who God is. It understands who we are. It understands what the result of His finished work is, or what is the fruit of His finished work. Mm-hmm. It understands how God saves sinners. It understands how I can be what I am in my person and know that I'm a child of God, because I know I'm dead. This old man was crucified at Calvary. Let me finish up here. Romans 10. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy new heart. Do you believe that? Do you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Well, if you do, that's a new heart. That's a new heart. That's the only kind that believes that. And shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, you have been saved, you are being saved, and you will finally be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confession doesn't give us salvation. It's just we profess that salvation that we possess believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Well, you can't believe unless you understand. And you can't understand unless you consider. Unless you think. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. We ought to give great consider, a fixed, steady, settled consideration of the person and worth of, and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does He mean to us? For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. But why is anybody, does somebody just all of a sudden walking down the road say, well, I think I'm going to consider the Lord today? No. God crosses their path with His gospel. And first, they hear the general call. Whosoever will, let him come. Unto you, O sons of men, is the word gone out. Proverbs, first part of Proverbs chapter 8, the general call. But then there's a effectual call. That's when the Lord Jesus Christ invades your soul and will never leave you alone again. He puts His Spirit in you. He takes up housekeeping in your tabernacle. He kicks Satan out. A strong man keepeth his house, and his goods are safe, until a stronger than he comes along and gives him the boot. And then he spoils his goods. Well, we're the goods. Christ Jesus comes and takes up his abode in these tabernacles, and he dwells there. Well, he said, in 1 Corinthians 1:21, it says, for by the foolishness of preaching, it pleased Him to save them that believe. Mm-hmm. Well, they believe because the strong man's been kicked out, and Christ Jesus come to live there. Yeah. They just naturally believe because of the fruit of His presence. the fruit of the Spirit is faith, joy, peace, love, and all those things. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call on His name. Well, you won't call on somebody you don't believe. You won't believe somebody you don't understand. Consider what I say. And the Lord give you understanding. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, they're already saved, but they will be saved, and they are being saved. He saved us from sin. He is saving us from our present sins and sin, and He will save us from the very presence of sin. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now that preacher has got to be first partaker of what he preached. He got to understand. He has to rightly divide the word of truth. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Amen. It's called the good news. All right, Brother Barton.